This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Chambers, who's a psychologist and founder and chief executive of Male Allies UK, is joining me today to discuss a rising trend, young boys turning to AI for relationships. Lee, thanks so much for joining us on iRadio's group chat. The surveys are showing that a growing number of young boys are turning to AI for relationships. And from your experience, why are some young people choosing AI chatbots over real life connections?
So we obviously surveyed over 1,000 boys from across the UK, and in those listening conversations started to hear a trend of AI companions and girlfriends coming up more over the academic year. And what we find is that, understandably, boys going through that teenage transition, some of them are feeling a little bit lonely and a little bit disconnected from the world. They are in a curious place where they're trying to understand where they are and where they fit in the world. And AI is in their world a lot more than it was even a few years ago. And lots of parents are thinking that the youngsters are using AI to cheat on the homework, but younger people are using AI in a much more personal way to give them a little bit of pepping up if they're feeling a bit down, asking them questions about the world and how to navigate conversations. And AI companions and girlfriends are being advertised to quite heavily to younger people in the games that they already play, in the content they already watch, and within other apps that they tend to use as well. So there's a lot of exposure. It is, you know, something quite novel and interesting. And AI companions and girlfriends are very hyper-personalizable. You can shape them and design them to be how you want. They always respond. They're always there for you. And they gradually learn how you respond as well. And they don't tend to push back, fall into conflict or challenge you, which can feel quite nice in a world where you're always being told what you should be and what you should be doing.
When they're interacting with these AI chatbots, what exactly are they looking for? Is it the emotional support, the validation? Is it just because they're curious, or is it something else? Or is it all of the above? Because from what you've said there, it seems to be such a vast thing.
Yeah, so what we found is that 1 in 10 boys is already using either an AI platform or one of these companions, and 3 out of 10 are curious and interested to find out what it might be like. That means that 6 out of 10 are not particularly interested or a little bit wary of it. But what we found was a massive diversity of perspectives around why they were using these, from because I'm bored, because it's something to do, because it's a bit novel, because it's a bit fun to design a character that I can speak to that's like just for me and gets me. Some are using it more for emotional support to give me that kind of, I suppose, personal development tips and tell me that I'm great and tell me that I can keep going when I'm feeling a bit like I'm lacking energy or not particularly interested. Some are using it because they think it's going to help them get better at communicating and making friends in the real world. It's going to help them talk to girls. It's going to help them navigate the complexity of relationships in the modern day world. It's going to help them build skills. It's going to make them feel just less lonely and more connected and attached to something when they're maybe not getting that in their own lives from parents or peers or from those that they interact with. So what we found is that there are a variety of different reasons, from it being kind of cool. Some boys thought it was kind of a cool thing to do because you can do it quite secretly, no one else knows, and you can choose exactly what your companions like, through to some boys who were just using it because, well, I've got a bit of spare time, I'm a bit bored of my Xbox, and this is something that's pretty cool to do. So such a different perspective and different variety of reasons why young people are using these, but there's definitely a clear feeling across a lot of young people that there are less physical spaces to hang out than there used to be. And there is a world where even their own parents are quite often on the phone, busy with work, and just not as deeply connected as we were when the world was a bit slower.
I can understand in some way their perspective of it being a little bit more like of a novelty, because it is something that is so new and it's secret to them. But these experiences that they're having virtually, do we think that they could be shaping the way that the young boys are viewing dating, emotional connection, intimacy in the long run?
I definitely harbour some concerns. So I'm a psychologist by background, and just understanding that for a lot of these boys, they have lost a few years of social development in the pandemic, usually at that kind of young developmental age in primary school. The world has become a little bit less connected physically and a little bit more connected digitally. And opportunities to learn those skills around how we communicate with others, how we work together in teams, how we find ways to come together and disagree with people who see the world a different way, but still have good values just like we do, is becoming challenging. And my natural concerns towards this are that some of these young people are already don't have a lot of, you know, everyday social connection with people, even though they're at school. They're then using these devices and they are being marketed to, telling them that it's going to help them get better at making friends, help them talk to girls, help them feel less lonely. And they're going to use it as an educational tool, thinking it's going to help them get better. The challenge is that AI is very validating. It does respond instantly and it doesn't tend to push back if you abuse it or if you challenge it. It'll kind of tell you, oh, you're right, I understand. And that's not how human communication works. There is a very much a two-way aspect of human communication where if you do be disrespectful to somebody, they'll stop talking to you. They'll tell you to go away. They might even be rude back to you. And for some of these young people who haven't had a lot of time to build these social skills, if they are using AI to build these social skills, they will form maladaptive patterns of interacting with others. And then they'll use that in the real world and they'll find either that it doesn't work and they get kind of frustrated and angry that the person isn't interacting in the way that they expect them to, or they might even become more disenfranchised and think it's their fault and become even more isolated and reliant on these AI companions for support and not seek out support from adults and professionals who can help them. So yes, there are some worries around how ultimately these might be shaping the way that young people communicate in a way that simply doesn't work between humans, and then there are consequences in real life if they do behave that way with other people.
Is there any type of balance that can be achieved with this? Can AI ever be a healthy tool for learning about relationships or building confidence or things like that? Or is it something that they should be avoiding entirely?
I mean, that's a really interesting question. I mean, firstly, I think this is not going away. It's a massively growing industry in the hundreds of billions of dollars as an industry already expected to grow even bigger. One of the biggest apps has or boasts over 100 million users across the world. In the UK, it's growing significantly, only behind the US and India. So it's not going anywhere is the answer in terms of avoiding it or pretending like it doesn't exist. It's going to exist and it's going to continue to grow in different ways. I also do worry that this idea of telling our children to completely abstain from these things probably isn't helpful in a world where they're becoming more and more accessible, where peers are sharing their own stories and journeys of using these apps, and where the potential for it to just become something that's hidden and not spoken about, but still being used, becomes more of a challenge. Because there's been so many things for teenagers over the past 100 years that were seen as not good or not things you should do that teenagers still did, because you're in the adolescent period of testing the boundaries, pushing what's acceptable and exploring who you are. So for me, I do think adults need to become a little bit more digitally literate about what's out there, to work with our children in partnership to actually go on a bit of a journey to think about how these things work in our lives. Some children will use them and find a way to put boundaries and healthfully use them in a way that does give them that little bit of a pep up, but doesn't become their only emotional support tool and make them more withdrawn from other people. And I think it's kind of listening to our children about why they're using these things and actually starting to think, can we as adults maybe fulfill some of those needs and actually be a bit more present, listen a bit more, be a bit less judgmental and a bit more curious? Because then our children will probably always pick that human connection over AI connection, because as humans we're wired for it. But I do think at the minute, when that attachment isn't there and that validation isn't there, especially when you're going and your hormones are raging around, it's just easy. it is easier, and therefore we need to think about how we remove those barriers to younger children being able to access that support from other humans too. So I think it's all about balance, about learning, and actually finding a way, because AI is integrated into so many parts of our life. This is no different, but if it's a part of our lives, then we still are engaging in real life and able to actually see that this is just part of living. It's not our whole life, and we don't become lonely and have AI as our only friends and romantic partners.
Do you think that there should be programs developed in schools, perhaps, to kind of achieve all of this balance? Because as you said, they're the adults in the equation across the board. Probably need to start paying more attention to this as something that is a fact of life now.
So I think school curriculums are always struggling to keep up with the really ever spinning dynamic world. And it's just, I mean, I reflect on this study that we've done. It wasn't much of a conversation at the start of the academic year. By the end of the academic year, it was suddenly quite a big conversation. That's how quickly it moves. The curriculum doesn't really evolve year to year, which I think in many ways says a lot about the nature of the education systems that we live within. But I think it is valuable. I know that certain charities do go into schools and do stuff around internet safety and online harms, and it's for them to definitely build this into the things they already deliver to children at both primary and secondary level. I do think there's probably place for specialists to come and deliver sessions around this in school. And it really fits into the healthy relationships and healthy friendships work. I don't actually think we should be going into schools and telling children, don't use these apps, they're really bad for you, because they will then go and look at them. That's just part of being a child. You're told not to do something, you will probably do it. But actually to be built in and a bit more time in school to focus on healthy relationships, healthy connection, building friendships and good teamwork and communication. I think we should be bringing this to children in terms of the positive aspect of keeping engaged with other children, adults, our brothers and sisters and people in our communities. And I think that's the way to actually kind of advertise what we should be doing to make sure we talk more about that and we don't keep reversing the conversation back to this is all bad, don't use these things. Because you can guarantee the children who are not really aware of half of this stuff will suddenly be searching the internet trying to work out, well, why are they telling us it's not good? I definitely want to see what that means in practice. Yeah, we need to be mindful about how we bring this and understand that if it does fall to teachers, that they're incredibly, you know, squished in terms of capacity themselves and might not have the expertise to have conversations around these topics anyway. So it is quite powerful to bring external specialists in who know how to facilitate conversations around this, that have the capacity and space to listen to children so they feel listened to, because they're much more likely to hear what's being said, to absorb information, and to be able to feel safe enough to share what's going on for them if a space is created where they feel listened to. And it shouldn't always fall onto teachers to do that. And it's also an aspect for parents to be able to think about what they're doing in terms of the space that they're giving children to explore and kind of co-creating some of those boundaries and guardrails that can be loosened over time as your children get older, knowing that the foundations have been put in place to try and keep them safe.
If there is someone listening this evening, whether that be a young person or an adult indeed who's turned to AI for a relationship, what would your advice be to them?
So my advice would be to them that there's probably a context that's taken them to do that. A lot of men in the world now feel that dating's really quite complicated. It's quite hard. You know, I speak to a lot of young boys who are like, I don't really know how to speak to girls and I don't even know how to start. And it feels quite scary. And what if they think I'm some kind of person and I'm not, and they don't understand me? So it's such a, I mean, I felt that when I was younger, exactly the same. And young people today are no different. So it is just those thoughts around, yeah, this is part of our lives now, and you shouldn't necessarily feel shame for using these things, but to really consider that these tools you are not speaking to another person, even though it might feel like you are. You're actually speaking to a set of zeros and ones that's trying to predict what you say, and everything that it replies back, it's trying to understand and learn what you it thinks you want to hear, even if that's not going to be helpful to you. So it's just that consideration for these things are not necessarily bad, but they can sometimes teach you things that are not particularly helpful to go and apply in the real world. So for me, it's really important that to have conversations around it, to not do it in a shameful place or in secret, but actually to share, especially with other young people, what you think about the world, and try and get a space to be able to actually find, be connected. Make sure you've still got hobbies and interests. Make sure you're still talking to people where you can. And having done this research with young boys, sometimes parents are like, get off the headset and stop gaming. But actually remember that even when you're gaming, you're speaking to your friends. And those friends are real people that you probably see at school the next day or go and play out with. Just remember that those friendships, they'll last for years. So invest time in that as well, because AI apps will come and go, but actually the people who you speak to on a daily basis, your friends that you build, whether they're around the corner, at your school, or somewhere else, those are the friends that you'll know and go on a real journey with. So yeah, don't stop investing in those relationships.
Lee, you've been a fountain of knowledge on all of this. Thank you so much for joining us on iRadio's group chat. And I'm sure we'll catch up to you again on this topic.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.